Yo, 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 welcome to Two Dudes and a Mic Podcast, episode 219 with Trevor and Max.
Yo.
So, I don't know if I owe an apology or not, because I don't remember if I said I would put another episode out within a two-week time span, even if it would be with or without Max or whoever. Turns out that didn't happen, so consider that a hiatus. I'll just say, from now on, because school has started back for me last week, I think from now on, I can't speak for Max, but like, if Max nor Carson is available for a week or whenever, that's a wrap for that week. I will say, however, that I think we should do a makeup episode of some sort. I don't know when. I want to say I can do it this weekend, but this weekend I'm a little busy. We may be able to do it Sunday if you're free then, but that's a might.
Maybe.
Yeah. So we'll do our best to make up for shit, especially if it was 3 weeks, but...
Yeah, put a little something out there for you, but, you know.
Little song. But... Oh, God. So tired. Been up since 9. Now it's 5. Anyway, or more like 8 p.m., 8 a.m. But anyway, let's get on to the stories, all right. Shall we?
Let's get it on. Sure. So the first thing, we're going to be touching in with a little union update later. Fuck Amazon, as always. But right now, do a little meat, get some protein in this episode, you know? Really, really get in there. Free speech, racism, it's police, it's got all of it, and a baby. A black protester voiced anger at police in South Carolina, and she was sentenced to 4 years in prison over comments, words. And now she's pregnant. Okay. So it's a whole thing. So, her name is Brittany Martin. She's 34 years old, and she was found guilty this spring of breaching the peace in a high and aggravated manner over comments she made to police. Her lawyers have been pushing for a lesser sentence amid increasing concerns about her health and that of her baby due in November. So, advocates with Black Voters Matter have been circulating a petition calling for her release. She's got a civil rights attorney and former state lawmaker backing her, who's saying various things. I think I kind of hope that she gets, I hope that she gets released because this is a fucked up situation for anyone to be in. But also, there's a lot of sort of postulating about everything that's going on right now. And while it is very important, you know, let's talk about the thing that's happened, because I think that's where we get the conversation from. For us, the thing that actually happened was on May 31st, 2020, she was with a protest, one of the Black Lives Matter protests, chanting "No justice, no peace" in an officer's face. The police had riot gear and were using tear gas before they had discussed using tear gas, so they didn't actually use it in this instance, before they let the crowd disperse. And then she used stronger language a few days later at another protest. She said, specifically, "Some of us gonna be hurting, and some of y'all gonna be hurting." She said to the officers, "We're ready for we're ready to die for this. We're tired of it. You better be ready to die for the blue. I'm ready to die for the black." The jury acquitted her of inciting a riot and reached no verdict on whether she threatened officers' lives. Her legal team was elated when jurors found her guilty, only of breaching the peace, punishable by no more than a $500 fine and 30 days in jail. So her own legal team was like not looking on the bright side of this case, evidently, if they're happy that they only got her on this. State law defines breachers of the peace as any disturbers, quote, dangerous and disorderly persons, or people who utter, quote, menaces or threatening speeches. But prosecutors presented the charge as a high and aggravated crime, which carries up to 10 years imprisonment. It was going on in the height of that summer 2020 protest movement, which obviously it's still going on, but that was when it reached its sort of tipping point, getting mass popularity, and so there was a lot of harsh reactions to it. Very heated summer. Where was I hear this? They wanted to present this as a high and aggravated crime, carries up to 10 years. Her lawyer Rosato and Judge Kurt Griffin did not, or the prosecutor did not allow her to explain the distinction and the possibility of a much stiffer penalty to the jury. Prosecutors did not respond to interview requests, and they said it would be inappropriate to give comment. Anyway, so basically that's what happened. She's got an interesting history. I think Brittany Martin has been through some shit. She had some fallout with her son before, which involved the police in November 2020. So that was after this. She received 7 years probation for willful intent to injure and leave a crime scene, where she got into a big skiff with her son, who said something like, "I hope." Her son ended up hospitalized with minor injuries after she hit him with her SUV and drove away. And she said that she hoped he would die. This is allegedly coming from her son.
Doesn't sound like she's in the wrong to me. I mean, kids are awful, even when they're grown.
And I think, something. Goddamn. So that all happened in November 2020. In 2021, she co-founded Mixed Sisters United, a local group that serves meals for homeless people, and organized voter registration drives and hosted Juneteenth celebration. So it's not like she's just a stereotypical angry black lady or something. It's not what this is. She is someone who's genuinely passionate and working to try to make her community better. And then in January, her 18-year-old son was shot and killed in his car outside a Waterloo, Iowa convenience store. And they're still mourning that. She's got some younger children, and now she's pregnant again and having to deal with this in jail. And so anyway, this is a whole fucking situation. But I haven't seen, this is the first thing I've come across sort of a big story case like this where someone was arrested and charged just for shouting shit at police officers. Shouting things which, I guess, if you're on the other side of that, you could see it as a direct threat, but I'm interested to hear what you think about this, because what I think about it, they were all general statements of passion and things that you would say when you're in a situation where riot police have been beating the shit out of protesters and tear gassing protesters for the past few months. It for a lot of people, it was very much a life and death situation in some of these things. And for a lot of people in those communities and situations, it can feel like that. So I don't know. Saying that this was high and aggravated is, I think, ridiculous. And saying that it is breaching the peace, it's not even like actually directly inciting anyone to violence. It's not saying everyone go attack police. It's nothing like that. It's saying we're ready to die for our cause, which police can feel whatever they want to feel about that. But they're not attacking anyone. They weren't attacking anyone here. If it becomes illegal to shout rhetoric at a protest, that's bad, I think. That's fucked up.
I guess there are three different angles to look at from, but the first thing that I thought was, why her? Why her? Yeah. As if there weren't hundreds of other people getting into police officers' faces and yelling things. Yeah. If I was the prosecutor, I could possibly argue that no justice, no peace in relation to BLM, which is ultimately a political protest that could be interpreted as a sign of terrorism. And if some of us going to be hurting and some of y'all going to be hurting, that also could be interpreted as a threat. And if I was a prosecutor, I would definitely use that. If the other statement that's not so great is, we ready to die for this, which could imply some heavy things, like such as sacrificial acts that could take out other people. And if I were her defense attorney, I would say that it was a time of anger, and that the other thing, I would really hammer on the point that unless if there were other people getting arrested, you know, how come it was just her, and could she really be considered disturbing the peace when everyone else was yelling? And I could also argue as the defense that a lot of people were very emotional, and more importantly, lots of other people were most likely shouting the same thing.
Oh yeah.
There's a people picture and
definitely shouting much worse.
I don't know if that's like the actual accurate picture, but you see someone's holding a phone there and everybody films protests / riots, so it would be pretty easy to obtain video evidence, I think, that there were other people involved. But the problem with that argument is it could set almost like, it could push towards an interpretation of like, oh, so you think all of those people shouting things like that should be punished.
If there's precedent for arresting people for shouting things at protests, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's that's not a good precedent because if they're not actually attacking anyone, then, and they're not actually calling for violence, because she wasn't directly calling for violence. I totally see the case that they made against her. I you know, it makes sense how they cinched that, but it's, that's, you know, I don't think, from the perspective of the society that we live in now, I see how they made that, and I can see how they could convince a jury of this. But I think it's a bad thing to try to convince a jury of, that these generally vague things. And I'm also going to add, as I've continued reading the article, I do so much preparation, as you can all tell. Apparently, in 2016, it was, in 2016, the police of the county she lives in fatally shot her brother-in-law 19 times. When officers said he fired a gun after a chase in a stolen car. So, she's a direct family die from the police, and I don't know the specifics of that case. Regardless, 19 times seems excessive for any situation.
I mean, he shot the police as.
They say he fired a gun after a stolen car chase.
Yikes. I mean, 19 times. I mean, that seems excessive from our view, but you gotta remember things like adrenaline combined with the fact that we weren't there. And some people are taught you should fire with the intent to kill if it comes down to that.
Oh, I was actually just about to talk about it. What I find sort of interesting about situations like that, when, you know, it is, I don't know the details of that, but assuming that he did shoot and fire the gun, when it is like a general criminal interaction and there's weapons involved and you could turn into a firefight of some kind, I think this is an example of why police officers just need much better training. Because the adrenaline thing makes sense, but 19 times, how many officers were there?
Well, that's another valid question to ask, because that doesn't seem like much to me, to be honest. Like, I've watched, for whatever reason, I've spent, a lot of time watching body cam footage of cops and shootouts over the summer, and there was one dude who got, he did fire at the police, but they shot him, 90 times.
Jesus Christ.
And there was another video in fucking Buffalo where there was, seven cops shooting into, the same situation. Guy fled from a stop and, shot the police. They had, eight people firing into that car. They could have easily hit each other. And guess what? Yeah. That fucking suspect lived.
Oh, my God.
So, it's just a matter of, making sure the threat is neutralized. Because people,
that's the thing. It should be... If these situations do keep happening, and if, as it seems, they happen more and more often,
I agree with your argument. I just think what seems like an excessive amount of bullets is not the best way to support that argument. I think a better example is one time I saw a video. This was pretty recent. This was really tragic. There was I don't know why they were searching the apartment, but they had a dog, and you can really tell that the dude at the front who has to open the door is nervous. So when he does, this 20-year-old black dude, I forgot exactly, but I think he has a jewel pod in his hand that's black or whatever, and he ends up getting shot once. But that was enough to kill him. So the officer just panicked, unfortunately. So I do think accountability needs to be held there, because there is that double standard of, ignorance is no excuse for the law. And then meanwhile, a cop can know so little about the law. Yeah. It's just passed off as a simple mistake. I do think more training is needed for all this. I think, unfortunately, that's the best way to circumvent situations where people are getting, unnecessary escalation, yada, yada, yada. I think that's the best we can do. That's most realistic, because, I'm pretty cynical. I think the government with healthcare, policing, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's all just too...
I'll be real. Yeah, America's not looking too hopeful right now.
It's too fucked. And I'm not one of those kids who thinks you can just tear down an entire system that took centuries to develop and start from the ground up. I'm just saying, the best we can probably do is train more. And I would say have a better vetting process, but to be honest, that's probably not going to happen. I mean, God, the fucking cops in the videos I watch, a lot of them are fat. Can we just say this? Can we make sure cops are fit? Is that such a radical idea? I mean, Jesus Christ.
They really should be. It's, you need to chase people down. You need to be doing physical things. And also, being physically fit, it makes it so that you don't freak out at the slightest fucking thing, because you're more capable of defending yourself.
Dude, there was a video of this I've never been so, this is one of the most embarrassing cop videos I've ever seen. Forget about minorities getting shot. This is also fucking embarrassing. There was this cop trying to, chase a suspect, and this fucking civilian in, a sedan pulls up next to him. He was like, hey, you need a lift, because he was out of breath. I'm just like, what are you doing? This dude's chasing a suspect. You don't know if he's armed or not, and is going to shoot at a vehicle with a cop in it.
Oh, my God.
No one should have to be in that position. I think there are more reasonable scenarios of civilians helping out cops, but I just think we shouldn't be in that position. Like, no one should ever have to feel like... Like, there's one video of, like, this dude outside McDonald's, and they're, like, the cop gets into a fight with him, and they're, like, brawling on the ground, and, like, people are just walking by. They're not even, like, bothering to help. And people are just, like, what? Why aren't those people helping? Why are they just walking by? It's, like, yeah, why isn't there another police officer with him? That's what I'm fucking wondering. Mm. I mean, good lord. I can go on countless, like, I've seen countless videos of both cops doing something right and cops doing something wrong. It's just, if anyone wants recommendations, RQP, I recommend Audit the Audit if you like seeing cops do bad shit and there's legal commentary involved.
Mm.
That's a good channel to check out. I will warn you, though, some of those videos are very blood-boiling. And then if you like more of, like, shootouts and shit like that, both justifiable and unjustifiable, the Crime and Law Network is also good. Anyway, that's what I've been watching the past few months as I munch on dinner, whatever that may be. God.
Yeah,
let's have cops fit. I mean, if they're big... Like, if it's a big dude, that might be different, but they can't be fat. That's, I mean, like, are we even allowed to say that anymore? Just like the
I don't know. Yeah, I think we should be. If you're a cop, it's your job to be dealing with people. You need to be able to do it's. It is ridiculous.
But part of the problem is that...
At least put the fat ones on, like, desk duty or just have them drive the car or something, you know?
And I'll acknowledge probably what's a lot of the problem is that there's just a shortage of people, especially for rural areas, which, you know, can be helped with a little more funding and paying them a little better. So no one's like, oh, I'm underpaid for this shit. But... And I believe the fucking U.S. Army just lifted the fucking GED and high school diploma requirement to join the Army. And apparently one of their biggest reasons was, oh, well, there's so many obese people in this country. We can't, like, fucking... Yeah, I don't know.
One of their arguments was there's too many fat people, so we just need more people.
Oh, Pretty much. Because they're just struggling with numbers, apparently. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I mean,
well,
they
now
did,
a bunch
they,
of even
they
dumber
like,
than high school is
outright
going to
say
the
that.
Military.
Well, it's the Army. You can't really go much lower. Anyway,
Oh, boy.
I mean, this was really... Again, I think context could be argued both ways here. This was a time where people were very angry. You couldn't bring up the fact that lots of small businesses were getting fucked by the damage of the... I mean, like, I would call some of those protests riots, to be honest, based on the videos I saw. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the people involving with the violence were all BLM protesters, but I'm sure some of them were involved. Because it's pretty easy when you're at a protest and you just see a bunch of people carrying fucking smart TVs outside of somewhere and just like, well, fuck it. So I'm sure it's a mixed bag, but I was a little annoyed that the media was like hesitant to really call some of those riots for really what it was. That's always the opinion I've held. I do think reform is important, but there's still, at least, I'll give credit where it's due. At least the fucking demands was a bit more specific, in particular to Floyd's case.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, even with that, it's still like a short-term mitigation. Like, sure, let's lock up the cops who did this, but then, you know, continue to do, you know.
Yeah. This is the thing. You got to make sure they don't get into the police in the first place.
Right, which I don't think that'll happen, to be honest.
Not unless we seriously change things. Yeah, it's Oh, boy.
But I guess the question is, do I personally interpret those statements as, you know, threat of violence? I think that technically it could be, yes, but, like, considering that specific, like, summer of 2020, no. Technically, yes, but, like, philosophically, no. That would be my opinion on that.
Yeah, like, in the context of everything, it's calling it an incitement to violence, I think, is a step way too far.
Now, if there was violence happening around people yelling that, then I'd say, yeah, that's a much more stronger case than...
Yeah.
But, and that may be what happens, but that would be a shame. And honestly, in general, I would not be yelling stuff like this just because someone could do one thing to mess up, to make this protest go violent. And then they're just like, well, this person was yelling this, so therefore they were inciting. And they could have a point there. So in general, it's, you know, don't yell anything at protests that can be incited as violence. But, you know, that's what anger does to people. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much more to add on that.
No. Moving on from that over to Staten Island. I think we may have actually talked about the Staten Island Amazon union that went through. And of course, Amazon has since tried to do fuckery and overturn it and scrap it. So they've tried to do this and they've lost, thank Christ. Amazon's efforts to undo the results of a historic union win in a Staten Island warehouse have fallen short. As a hearing officer for Federal Labor Board on Tuesday rebuffed Amazon's objections to the election. Shortly after the spring vote in which workers at the warehouse known as JFK decisively won a union election in April, creating the first unionized Amazon facility in the U.S., the company filed more than 24 objections with the National Labor Relations Board. In those filings, the mega retailer, I don't like that term, claimed the election was tainted by organizers and Region 29, the agency's regional office in Brooklyn that oversaw the election. So they were claiming election fraud about a union. Oh my god. The case was then transferred over to another regional office based in Phoenix, Arizona, at Amazon's request. The 24-day-long hearing, which Amazon had unsuccessfully sought to close to the public, was marked by tense exchanges between attorneys for both sides on which documents could be submitted for evidence and which witnesses could testify. On Thursday, Lisa Dunn, the agency officer who handled the company's case, concluded that Amazon's objections should be entirely overruled and the union be certified as a bargaining representative for the warehouse. Employer has not met its burden of establishing that Region 29, the petitioner, or any third parties have engaged in objectionable conduct affecting the results of the election, the spokesperson said, offering a summary of Dunn's recommendation. Thursday's win is a relief for the Amazon Labor Union, a grassroots group of former and current workers whose unexpected victory in April followed weeks of aggressive campaigning. So this is hard fought and hard won. And they're still having to win it repeatedly. The company plans to file another appeal, apparently, from Amazon spokesperson Kelly Nantel. Fucking bootlicker, Kelly. While we're still reviewing the decision, we strongly disagree with the conclusion and intend to appeal, Nantel said in a statement. As we showed throughout the hearing with dozens of witnesses and hundreds of pages of documents, both the NLRB and the ALU improperly influenced the outcome of the election, and we don't believe it represents what the majority of our team wants. Amazon, the union, and the agency's office in Brooklyn have until September 16th to file any exceptions to the report, which would send the case to the regional director, who will issue an order to either certify the results or order a rerun vote. The company could still appeal that order to the 5-person labor board, whose Democratic majority is expected to sympathize with the union, so they probably don't want it to get that far. Even when the agency upholds a union victory, experts say companies who don't want a unionized workforce often refuse to negotiate. That move can trigger protracted legal battles in federal court, which companies can use as a backdoor attempt to thwart labor victories. So that may be part of their plan, is to draw this out into legal arguments and bring that into federal court and then you know, set general, more general precedence for unions and, fucking Amazon. Kelly Nantel, you fucking bootlicker. How, anyway, they won for now. Fingers crossed. Keep an eye out on this.
Anything to save the pennies. But
for Amazon. For fucking Amazon. Just. I wish I could look into the soulless eyes of the spokesperson. And I know it's not her fault or decision, but she's saying these things. She's being the mouthpiece. It's fucking awful. How dare she?
Yeah. Well, I don't understand some business people. We'll get into that later.
Fucking snakes.
Yeah, well. Anyways.
That's all I really got to say about that. Nice little update.
Shall we move on to obscure random questions?
I think we can roll on over to obscure.
What fast food chain should go out of business?
So my instinct is to say Burger King.
But, I knew it.
But here's the thing, like, I despise them, but also them going out of business, I think, would probably be worse for the fast food industry as a whole, because they're clearly an important player. They're a historically important player in the fast food industry. And if there were no more Burger Kings, I think the world that I live in would look drastically different, and that's too big a change, so I won't say Burger King. Maybe Taco Bell can't go out of business because they have to ultimately win the franchise wars. 100 years or so from now. So,
and that would be cruel because they really cater to the stoners.
That's the thing. Taco Bell, you know, it'll do things to you, but nothing that you don't really want to happen to you. The fast food chains that I think should go out of business. I don't know. KFC is pretty fucking. They're trying, and they're also historical and classic, but they just don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore.
For me, it's either KFC or Subway.
Subway?
Dude, I have a fucking. Yeah, Subway has gone downhill.
Oh, man.
It's really... Ugh.
I still get them regularly in the UK, and they're decent here. But that's sad to hear.
I have a coworker who fucking eats there every day for lunch. He gets a sandwich from there. I'm just saying to myself, man, you must be... You may be only like 4 years younger than me, but you probably don't remember when Subway was the shit. I barely remember, but I do remember. I hate that Quiznos went out of business, and now I got a fucking grudge against Subway, but it's either that or KFC. KFC is just something else, man. They have a fucking monopoly in the Midwest. I want to tear them apart.
Oh, God.
So,
Think about Subway. I will say this. I only ever get the meatball sub from Subway. I have never and will never get a different type of sandwich from that place because I don't see the point. If I want another type of sandwich, like if I want a deli sandwich of some kind, I will go to an actual deli or sandwich shop for that. Definitely not Subway. But for the meatball sub, it does the trick. And I go specifically just meatball sub, cheese, toast it. Maybe occasionally throw some peppers on there. Nothing else. I don't taint it. I'm a very pure with my Subway orders, and that probably has kept me in a safe little bubble. I have no idea how the rest of the menu has gone downhill, because I've literally never gotten it.
Yeah, you and your conservative meatball sub bubble over here. No wonder you're so fucking wishy-washy about Subway. My God.
I only get the best thing.
I will say, though, I'd probably... KFC's chicken sandwich is good. I will give them credit for that. But their fries are shit. Yes, that's true. And y'all can be mad, but I think Popeyes is better. The sandwich is better. I feel like Chick-fil-A is a bit more juicy, and they deserve brownie points for that. But in terms of flavor, Popeyes blows Chick-fil-A out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
Just because they don't, you know, the fucking employees at Popeyes don't smile at you, that doesn't mean they're being rude, you fucking weirdos.
They're focusing on making good chicken.
Yeah, I would love if every fucking place was like Popeyes in terms of customer service. Because, like, I see these meme videos that are like, oh, this is what, Popeyes customer service is like. It's just people, like, being, like, obnoxiously rude, like, cursing at customers to be funny or whatever. I'm just like, dude, I've never had, like, jokes aside, I've never had a rude customer at, employee, fucking Popeyes. I've never experienced that. They don't smile at me, and I love that. They just ask, what do you want? I love that, personally. I think we may have talked about this somewhat recently, because it's been at least 3 weeks, but, like, I think it may have been from a YouTube video or something, but someone said, like, you know, part of the experience of, like, dining out is, like, having that interaction with the waiter. I'm just like, are you retarded? I'm there for the food. What the hell? And probably the atmosphere. That's it. I don't give a fuck about the waiter, and the waiter doesn't give a fuck about me, and that's completely fine.
Yeah. I'll say, over the past 2 weeks, I was part and witness to a terrible restaurant service experience. And I have to say, like, there is a difference between uncaring and just rude. Like, we had to deal with a straight-up rude waiter that was a fucking nightmare to deal with. But,
I mean, you were in Ukraine, so he was probably a bit stressed. I would kill him a bit slack.
Yeah, you know, when we're in the middle of a firefight and they won't give me my goddamn pasta, tensions run high. But yeah, uncaring is fine. I don't need my waiter to be chit-chatting with me. I need them to come over, take my order, and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I just thought about that. Like, the more chatty they are,
I'm the type of person that will literally halt any conversation I'm already having when the waiter comes over just to, like, hi, you're not part of this. I want this food. Thank you. Go now. And then not see them until they bring my food back. That is my ideal for it.
Dude, honestly, if I didn't have bad hearing and our fucking demands out of customer, service people was so fucking weird, I could be a decent waiter, to be honest. I know that's not something a lot of people that know me picture me doing, but, like, yeah. What else was I going to say? I don't know. I would greatly appreciate that if people had that attitude, but whatever. Anyways, I would fucking axe KFC. Fuck KFC.
Get it out of here.
The rest of it's just like Subway, okay? They got the chicken sandwich. That's pretty damn good. But the rest of their menu is fucking shit and incredibly dry. Lee's Chicken, if you're in Virginia, you might be able to find one. That's very good. Huh. That's like that's supposedly closer. Like, that's actually the unchanged version of KFC. So it's old school KFC. That's why I've heard. And it's very good. But yeah, the lack of fried chicken in the Midwest, like good fried chicken that doesn't come from like a fucking family restaurant, it's just tragic. Anyway, what was the last thing you accidentally got for free?
The last thing I accidentally got for free? I ordered some wings a few weeks ago, and my order ended up being a larger order, and it also came with a drink, so either they fucked up my order, or I've ordered from that place a few times, so they may have, like, given me a little treat, but I think that may have been it, and that was a nice surprise, I gotta say. I was hungry, I was high, and suddenly I'm like, I get 12 wings instead of just 8? and a Coke. This is salvation.
Yeah, wings are pricey. Very pricey, and I think that's just because they gotta take the wings out of each chicken. I don't remember why they're pricey. At a restaurant I used to work at, it was fucking $10 for 6 wings. Probably more than that.
God damn.
Yeah. Bone in, by the way.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. Not great. Anyways, do we have anything else? Well, we should be on... I mean, we should be on a consistent schedule for a while. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully that's... Like, at this point, I have a feeling... the inconsistency will be on my end for the next 3 months. But we'll see. I'll do my best to carve out a stable time period for recording. Anyways, peace, motherfuckers.
Woo!